All right. How's everybody doing? Yes. All right. Listen, I want to just go over a few things. Number one, I am feeling very young and cool right now because I got to hang out with all the students at Fine Arts this weekend. If you're a student that participated, man, wave your hand. Yeah, they're all over the place. So they were discovering their gifts, developing their gifts, and they're deploying their gifts for the use of the kingdom of God. And man, I tell you what, we have some talented kids because we walked away with some first places. We walked away with a lot of top threes, and almost everybody is going, I think everybody even in some categories is going to nationals or qualified to go to nationals. It's pretty awesome. But, you know, I get around these students, and I start to feel super young and cool. I mean, I had the jean jacket on this morning, and I learned some new dances this week. So the gritty, you know, I learned that. Then I thought we were doing some Russian dance, but really it was just called the sturdy, okay? But my knees really hurt today because I'm not as young as I think I can be, okay? But it was fun. Man, they did an amazing job. In your seats, there's another card. It's called the one-day card. It's also going to be on the screen right here. Every Easter, there is an influx of people from the community. This might be the one time of year they want to come to church, or this might be just because we do a lot of outreach and a lot of pushing. We'll have a lot of people here on Sunday, and you know, on Easter Sunday, and you can't help facilitate and love and operate how we need to operate at an excellent level unless the infrastructure is ready to bring them in and to love them well. That is where you come in, friend, because what you do is you scan this QR code right there. It'll take you to a page where you can see all the different opportunities on where you can serve and help out. Now, if you read the fine print really small, I just feel like we gotta say this, it says one day card, but real small. In fact, you can't even see it. It's actually 2 days, because Palm Sunday, we practice in the area in which you are going to serve so that we're ready to go on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And it's really great. You know, at our church here, we really believe save people, serve people. And so it's not, let me just help you out. You are not signing your life away. Okay? This is not like, I signed up for this. Now I am committed to this for life. 2 days. Okay, 2 days is all we're asking. Now, this may be a good springboard for you if you're not part of a serve team to get you connected to a serve team. Might be helpful in that manner. And listen, we have one first Monday prayer is actually tomorrow night at 7 p.m. If you have a calendar in front of you, I know it's not the first Monday of the month. It's actually the second. But for spring break, we push it back because everybody travels, everybody's gone, everyone's enjoying their families. So this week, tomorrow, 7 p.m., join us right here for a facilitated time of prayer. I love when God's people come together and ask for God to move in our lives. So guys, come out and participate in that with us. Finally, I know you saw it on the announcement video, Encounter Sunday, all right? I've got to be honest, one of the most, it's 11 o'clock, one service next week, but listen, if you notice on the bottom there, it said potluck. Now, does everybody know what that means? Okay, that means, I just want to make sure I'm really good at explaining this. That means you bring something to share with the family, right? Helpful tips. All right, you can't make something, you can't bring something, order a pizza, have it delivered here. My favorite thing at potlucks growing up was when chicken showed up, right? You stop by the chicken place and you bring it. Man, that is a win on the potluck table for me. Yeah, and so just bring something, participate, because what you bring is what we got. And so I want to eat that day. So come and celebrate. Man, we just want to do more things that inspire community, because we are a community here of believers, and we want to just, no agenda, just after service, get to sit down and eat together and enjoy one another. Who's excited for that? All right. Don't let me down. Don't let us down. Because it might be the last time then. I don't know. Guys, listen, who's ever played the game hide and seek? Let me see it. Play the game hide and seek. All right. So just a little rundown. People all the way from older to very young know the game hide and seek. Just a little refresher. The way the game is played, right? Somebody goes and stands in the corner, sits in a chair, whatever, closes their eyes, that's the big one, and counts to a specified amount of time, right? And then everybody else goes in. All right. So they go and hide, and then the guy or the person says, when they're done counting, they say, ready or not, here I am. Right, and then they go look for it. So we're all on the same page with how hide and seek works. Now, I've got a little helpful tip for parents out there who have younger kids or about ready to have kids, may have kids someday, or grandkids. If you need a break, okay, from your kids, and I love my kids, but sometimes you need a break, right? You say, let's play hide and seek, right? And then you sit on the couch, and you say, I volunteer to count first. You say, let's count to 2 minutes. Hide really good, because I'm going to find really good really quick. And they hide. You say, ready or not, here I come. And then every just so often you yell out, where are you? I can't find you. Man, it'll buy you a good 10, 15, 20 minutes. I'm just saying. I'm just, my wife loves that one. Listen, when I was, she loves when I tell it. She doesn't love to do it. Just so we're clear, that's my move. You know, when I was younger, I really loved hide and seek. And I never liked to seek, but I always liked to hide, right? And, man, I used to be the guy who was dedicated to the craft. You could stop looking, and I would still be hiding, because you're not going to find me. I could lay down in these really small spaces or crouch down, you know, where like no one would even think you could fit. Try playing nowadays, okay? I can't do it. And I'm getting so old, I get like cramps as I try to like hide for 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm here. Come find me right now. Guys, we're going to start by talking about hide and seek. And we're going to start with the hide portion today. Next week, we're going to get into the seek portion of it for Encounter Sunday. But man, I'm excited for what God has for us this morning. Let's just go ahead and pray as we get started. God, thank you so much. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here to speak your word, to deliver it this morning. God, we honor you. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you sent your son. God, we ask that you pour out your spirit in great measure today. God, we don't want to go anywhere if it's not with you. God, we ask for you to touch us this morning and to reveal your heart to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I want to start out. We're going to be in Joshua 7, whether you want to follow along in your real Bible, they're all real. Your physical Bible, your Bible online, however you want to do that, they're all real. But we're going to be starting with the story of Achan, and here's where we are. This is the nation of Israel. We're going to kind of go back to how we got to where we're at today. So the Israelites had just crossed over the Jordan River, and then that famous Bible story from when we were kids, the story of Jericho, right? So they march around the city the seventh day. They march around quietly on the seventh time. They shout, and the walls came crumbling down. That's right. The walls came down, and the city was destroyed. Now, in this city, the Lord God instructs them to not take anything from the city because it was devoted to the Lord for destruction. Achan, he took some of those devoted things that the Lord had said not to, and he had hid them with his belongings. And those things included 200 shekels, gold bar, and a beautiful robe. And these would equal out to be more than a person's wage for a lifetime in those times. They went then to a city called Ai and were defeated. Now, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, AI. They're not fighting the robots with artificial intelligence. It's just the name that's in the Bible that we're going to call AI. And they were defeated, and 36 men of the Israelites died. Now, you have to think about this, right? Because what happened? These guys are running high on victories. They see God do a miracle across the Jordan. Man, the walls of Jericho, we didn't even have to fight. The walls just came down. All we had to do was march and follow God's instructions. And now they're walking and they're going to the city of Ai to take it over. And they're probably thinking, easy. Come on, God, do your thing. But no, they were defeated. They turned and ran. In fact, the word says this. It says that the hearts of the people melted and became like water. That gives you kind of a picture of this defeated, like they were crushed and they didn't know what was happening and they were distraught. And Joshua gets on his face. He's the leader. He gets on his face grieving and says, God, we would have just been content if you're not going to do this thing for us, if we're not going to keep going to the battles, if we're going to lose, we would have been content just staying on that side of the Jordan. We could have just set up a tent there, set up camp there, and we would have been fine. If this is how it was going to turn out, God. But God tells Joshua, he says, get up because someone has sinned in the camp. And you will not be able to stand before your enemies until the devoted things have been taken away. And he tells Joshua what to do the next morning. And Joshua relays this to the people of Israel. And this is what he tells them to do. The word says that he instructs Joshua to get all of Israel out before him. And it says that he goes before and they get all the tribes is how they start. Because they categorize Israel by the tribes. So they get them all set up there. And he goes through, and the Bible says that they took a lot. So I'm not exactly sure how that happened, but as they passed by each tribe, the Lord revealed which tribe the sin was in. And then not only did they do the tribe, then the next classification in the tribe are the clans. So each tribe had different clans. So he passed between the clans of this one tribe, and pretty soon he's like, This is the clan. And not only that, then he started going through the clan and separating them by households. And going by households and saying, it's this household. Now, how do you think Achan was feeling at this point in time? Terrified. Not good. Right? He's probably sweating like, oh, man, snap. God knows. And then he goes man by man. And finally, Joshua gets called out. And he confesses that he coveted those items, that he kept them, and he sent his servants to go get them and to bring them back. And then Joshua instructs him to take everything he owned, and this is including his family, his sons and daughters, all his possessions, all of his cattle, all of his livestock, all these things, everything he owned, and this story does not have a happy ending. They stoned them, they burned them, and then they put a pile of rocks upon them, and then they were done. And then the amazing thing is, after that, they go back to take over the city of Ai, and they have victory. That's what happens in chapter 8. And so, guys, today we're going to talk about hide because this is something that's really important, and I think if we were all honest today, to some degree, we all have hidden sin, just like Achan took the things and hid them among his own things. And there's things that God wants us to deal with today, and that's where we're going to go through. The verse I want to start with is Joshua 6, verses 18 and 19. He says, "But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them to you, take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble on it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord, and they shall go into the treasury of the Lord." I want to start with letting us know that sin is adultery against God. Joshua 7:1 says, "But the people of Israel broke faith." They broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. And so, guys, when it says broke faith, that translates into broke covenant with God. The same as if when you enter into the institution of marriage, that is a covenant between the husband and the wife that God has joined together. And that translates to as if a husband or a wife was in an adulterous relationship when they broke the faith. It was as if they stepped out and decided to go a different way than with God. We might think, wow, that sounds crazy. But guys, I think it's going to hit home more than we realize. Sin is adultery against God. Achan broke commandments. He broke the commandment, "Do not have any other gods before me." When he stepped out in this adulterous relationship, you know, the first commandment is, "Do not have any other gods before me. Serve me only." And Achan chose to not serve God, but to serve himself instead and what he wanted to do. And in fact, Achan valued the items more than he valued being right with God. Maybe you value something like your status, right? I think of young people in the school system, but this is also true of adults in the workplace and within our families and the relationships that we have in that context. But we value how we are seen by our peers in our schools or in our workplaces. We value what people think of us. And so we might say, well, if I follow what God wants me to do, people are going to maybe think I'm not cool or I don't fit in or I need to figure something else out. But and so we value our status and how people view us more than we value the actual sin and what God thinks about the sin and what God has instructed us to live. So instead, we value that. Maybe we just want to get a little bit ahead. And so we think through and we make some compromises. Oh, if I do this for my family, maybe I can just lie a little bit here on my taxes or things that we think don't hurt other people, but they go against what God's word says and how we're to live. And we just care because we think, oh, it's okay because it maybe puts us a little farther and we start to make compromises, but we cannot value the items in our life and the sin in our lives more than being right with God. In fact, I think, church, if we're honest, we've become all too cavalier and comfortable with sin. And today is a day that God wants to awaken us. Achan fell in love with his sin and what he perceived he could gain from it. Guys, we can become the chief justifiers of our sin. I mean, we are good. We can say, well, it's really not that bad. Does he really mean that we can't do that? Is that really right? Or, I think it's okay to do this because it ends up like this. So, I mean, I'm sure that's fine. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? I am putting my hand up that it is easy to justify our sin, but guys, we cannot be comfortable with our sin. Let's move on. Sin impacts more than just ourselves. Joshua 7, verses 10 through 15. Read this, follow along with me. The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant and that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted to destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people of Israel there, and say to Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until those things are taken away from you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by tribes." And we're not going to read the rest because I just worked that out for you of how they did. He went by tribe, by clan, by family, by man to man. But I want you to think about it in this context. Sin impacts more than just ourselves. Isn't it interesting that one man's sin impacted the entire nation of Israel and what God wanted to do with them? Have you guys ever thought in that context? I normally don't. I was listening to a podcast that kind of made me start to think about this, and then I kind of followed the thought process, and then when I was reading this, it popped back into my mind. I was like, man, yes, guys, we are individually responsible for sin in our own lives. This is true. But following along, our sin can also impact other people, like the nation of Israel. Have you considered that maybe your sin is hindering or stopping God from doing what he wants to do in your family or this church? You see, God kind of continues to work in communities, right? He's created community. From the very beginning, he created us to live in community. The church was God's idea to live in community. And then you even think about, how does he instruct us to live in community? He says, hey, confess your sins to one another. Hey, if you see your brother or sister stumble, bring them back to repentance and to me. So to me, it makes perfect sense that if he calls us and instructs us to live like that, that our sin can impact people at a whole, right? And so it impacts an entire nation. But sin has the consequences that can affect those you love. You see, Israel, in this situation, it impacted them because here they were, victories and victories, and then sin entered the camp. They broke covenant with God, and now they go up and they are not able to defeat Ai. But then as soon as the sin is taken care of, what happens? The Lord gives them the city and they become victorious. So I believe there's this connection between the sin that's in the camp and the blessing that God wanted to give them of victory versus Ai. So sometimes we can't see the blessing that God wants to give us. We can't see the victory that God wants to give us because we're still comfortable and okay with the sin that's in our lives. And we want to see maybe God move in our family, right? Maybe we want to see freedom in our marriage, and our marriage is having an issue. We want to see God break through in that thing, or we want to see something happen in our kids, and the Lord's like, hey, I want to do this for you, but you're not even repenting from the sin that you have. And he wants us to care about that. Maybe it's time we step up and we break a generational curse in our family of sin that continues and continues because we're not willing to step up and say, I've sinned against you, God. Forgive me. I don't want my kids to follow down the same path. But hidden sin grows and grows and grows. It reminds me of you know, a pastor last week was talking about, if you guys were here, he was talking about the water effect, how in his testimony, he was talking about how at one point he felt like God turned off the water of his presence, right? Sin can do that. Sin can turn off the water of his presence because we have this unrepentant sin, and God can't have anything to do with sin. He hates sin, and it disrupts our relationship with him. And so it has this consequence that not only impacts our own selves, but impacts others. And I am going to tell you this morning, although you think you've hidden it well, although you think it's not impacting your family, although you think it's not impacting the way you do life, I'm telling you, it is impacting you on some level. And you're missing out on what God has for you as you walk in freedom. Guys, sin cannot remain hidden. Joshua 7:13, he says, get up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. Sin can't remain hidden, and we can't miss the opportunity for repentance. I don't know if the story were to have turned out differently, but what I do see is God instructed Joshua to go in front of Israel the night before he went clan by clan and man by man, and he said, hey, I want you guys to know there's been sin in the camp. We've taken some of the things, and tomorrow we're going to basically talk about it and go clan by clan and tribe by tribe. I think that was a moment in which Achan, when he heard that, could have been like, God, I am so sorry. That was me. Guys, it was me. Please forgive me. And could have fell on his face and asked for grace, mercy, and forgiveness. But instead, he just waited till the morning. He still thought he could hide it from God. But what would have happened, I don't know. But I think the story may have been a little different if he would have repented and not waited till he was called out. So today, guys, I am just telling you, we cannot miss the opportunity for repentance one more Sunday. We can't miss the opportunity for repentance one more time in his presence. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. God revealed the sin to Achan. And verse 19, he says, and Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to God of Israel and give him praise and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. So now, when I read this, I was like, oh, he said, my son, give glory to the Lord and give him praise. I thought, man, he's like, come on, Achan, give God glory, give him praise. You better get before him. But at this time, really what that means in the translation does not mean that. It means the same connotation as if you were going to stand in front of a courtroom and say, I swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. He's basically telling Achan, boy, you better tell the truth because God is worth it. And guys, I stand before you today and say, he's worth it. Tell God the truth. You cannot hide from the presence of God. Jeremiah 16:17 says this, for my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquity, which means sin, concealed from my eyes. You might be thinking, I've hid this from my spouse, I've hid this from my parents, I've hid this from my youth pastor, I've hid this from my pastor, I've hid this from the people at my work. Well, you have not hidden it from God, because you cannot get away from his presence. He knows. He knows. You cannot hide from the presence of God. Fear the Lord. Last week, Pastor was talking about some of this, fearing the Lord and having a reverence for God. And I love this verse. It says, Luke 12, verse 1, it says, in the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling on one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. Whatever is whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. And then listen to this. Verse 4, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Listen, we think concealing our sin is the answer. We think, man, if they find out, it is going to destroy my relationship. Man, if I get right and I confess this to the Lord, it's going to have difficult implications that I don't want to deal with. Well, I'm just telling you, the Bible says to fear God more than the fear of man. And when we get right with God, we get right with man. We have the opportunity for reconciliation. Because listen, God has the ability to say, I can cast you into hell. Now, that's not an easy thing to say, but the reality is the reality. The truth is the truth. That we can hide it and think that we're going to be okay, but at some point it's coming out, and you're either going to stand before God now or sometime when he returns or when you die, but you will stand before God, and I would rather be right before God than lose out on something on this earth. This is a hard truth, but it is a reality. Sin has consequences. Verse 22, so Joshua sent his messengers, and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hidden in the tent with the silver underneath. And they took him out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord, and Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the cloak, and the bar of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his donkeys, and his sheep, and even his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor, and Joshua said, why did you bring this trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all of Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of the place is called the Valley of Achor. Sin has consequences. For Achan, those consequences were massive. Massive implications for his family. I mean, everything he owned, everything he loved, everything he held dear, ruined because he didn't want to take care of his sin. He didn't want to repent. He didn't need to get right with God. He thought, I don't know what he thought. I don't know if he thought, you know what? It's hidden really good. There's no way anybody's going to find out. But God knows. We're not going to run from him. I want to give us an opportunity today. And I'm going to be the first one to start. You know what? We're not going to have this, everybody bow your heads and all that. Because we all, to some degree, it can be something really big. Maybe there's, if you think about like the Asbury Revival and these other revivals that have been going on or have gone on in the past throughout all of history, one of the things that is prevalent when revival breaks out and God pours out his spirit and people are getting serious about him is that there's this call to repentance. I was just reading one of these missionaries that we used to live. I actually don't know how we met them through our missions organization, but they were leading worship at some place, and all of a sudden in the middle of worship, they just stopped and said, "Hey guys, the Lord wants us to repent of our sins." And guys, the move of God was so great that people were taking out their vaping pens. They were taking out pornography. They were taking out all cigarettes. They were taking out alcohol. And they started to lay them all on the altar. And this move of God started to come where people started to become less concerned about what they were losing or what people cared about. And they started to say, "No, I don't. That's man, I'm going to get right with God." And this morning, I don't know what you are hiding. It might be this massive thing that you've hidden for years that nobody knows about. Or it might be something a little simpler than that. But we still need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And He is always faithful and just to forgive us from all wickedness and to cleanse us. And guys, so I'll be the first, but in just a minute, I'm gonna say, "Hey, let's come to the altar." And that's going to be the end of that. I'm just asking God to move. I'm asking for us to be real because it impacts more than just you. And next week, we're going to talk about seeking, but this precedes the seeking. So during that 21 days of prayer and fasting, one of the things that I had to repent from was a critical spirit. You know what? It's very easy for me. I can be inclined to go from giving feedback to going to criticizing and nitpicking every little thing that people are doing. And I had to repent and say, "God, that's not right. That's not kind. That's not how you call me to live." And just repent from that. And just recently, as I was preparing this message, right? Always preach to yourself first. When I was preparing this message, the Lord spoke to me and I was like, "Man, I've really not been a patient person. I've really lost it." And God calls me to be patient. And He gives me His Holy Spirit to help me do that. And I had to just cry out and say, "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me." And so I'm gonna be the first one to walk down here and continue asking for God to forgive me of things that I'm not doing in my life right, that have crept in. And I'm asking you to do the same. Because I don't want us to miss this chance for repentance today. I don't want to miss it like Joshua did. Guys, we're just going to start by playing some music in the background, but now's the time. Who's going to be the first person that says, "Hey, I don't care what people think. They can judge, they can do whatever, but I'm coming to the altar because this is about me and God and being right with Him." Come to the altar, guys.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, and find me here, Lord, as You draw me near. I'm desperate for You. Desperate for You. Oh, I surrender. I surrender. I want to know You more. I want to know You more. I surrender. I surrender. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul.
To move or break your time with the Lord right now, but I was watching something on social media the other day, and it was a simple verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the pastor started to say, you know what, there's probably plenty of people who show up on a Sunday morning who don't actually know or have a relationship with Jesus. Because we can't have relationship with God just by coming to church. We can't have relationship with God because we are a good enough person. We can't have a relationship with God just because we prayed a little prayer. We can only have a relationship with God because of Jesus. Because he died on the cross to take away our sins, and he has the ability, because of the blood that he shed, to forgive us and usher us into presence with the Father. And so, you know, today you might be here and you, obviously there's nothing, I want to clarify, there's nothing wrong with saying a prayer. I mean, it helps facilitate that time. But the point is if it was just a prayer and then no relationship to follow, that's the problem. And so today, if you're here and you would just say, hey, listen, I need a relationship with God the Father. It's as easy as admitting that we are sinners and we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And it's believing that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and that is sufficient to take away our sins. And then we have to call upon him and tell him we're sorry and ask him to forgive us. And really, it comes down to the word surrender. God, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm choosing to do it your way. And God, I want to have a relationship with you. And so if that's you today, just pray this after me. God, I am sorry for the sin in my life. I've really messed up. God, I ask that you forgive me. God, I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again for me, for my payment of my sin. God, I ask for you to be the Lord of my life. And I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to do it your way. And not my way. In Jesus' name. Amen. If that was you today, would you just be bold enough to say, hey, that's me. I'm excited for what God's going to do. Just raise it up. Don't be shy. I'm not going to call you out. Awesome. Guys, I believe when we come and we truly repent to God, listen, it doesn't stop just with repentance. He can give you victory to not go back into the thing in which you came from. He will empower you. He will equip you. Do not go back. Because true repentance is turning from our wicked ways and turning towards God's ways. So don't turn back to the wicked ways and go make it right with the people who you need to make it right with. Guys, I believe God's doing something in this place. I believe God's doing something in your life. I believe God's doing something in this body of believers, in this community. And next week, I'm so excited as we seek Him together in His presence, as we learn about hide and seek. Guys, won't you stand and just worship one last time with us, and then Pastor will come and close us out. But let's worship for God for what He's done. Isn't He good? Amen. Praise the Lord.